painter turned briefly to writing. Barry versus the Bin Man, Westmeath's film bursary. And arts and crafts and creativity down on the farm. You're welcome to Midlands 103's dedicated arts show. This is Encore with the best of what's happening in, around and about culture in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. And we're here every Thursday night between 7 and 8 o'clock. Encore at midlands103.com is the email address and I would absolutely love to hear from you, so do drop me a line. Tonight on the programme, the inaugural Westmeath Film Award, film bursary indeed, has been awarded to Craig Moore from Colucan for the production of an original film to be shot in the Lake County in 2023. We'll be chatting to Craig a little bit later about that film and indeed about his own work. Martha's Farm in Westmeath plays host to a Christmas fair with arts, crafts and a very, very special crib. And something very unusual that happened one morning a couple of weeks ago, it is at this stage, I probably was lying in bed and scrolling through Facebook in the way that you do and noticed something on the Facebook page of Ursula Meehan. And Ursula is an artist, she is a visual artist living in North Westmeath. And she wrote about how sometimes when you need to say something or express something, even as an artist, art is not the way. Sometimes you need words. And these are the words that she had.
Sometimes I have to write what I can't paint. We are in a strange time now when it comes to fossil fuel. This is what I saw. Summer 2021, the final cut. I walked White's Bog in Multifarnham and watched acres of newly cut turf begin a transformation. I was photographing and sketching there, and over the summer saw the small footings grow and extend in every direction. The footings, balanced with a knacky precision and a sculptor's skill, were a reminder of the knowledge, the labour and the tradition that has passed through generations of families who each summer visit the bog. I listened to the quietness, I listened to the call of the cuckoo as the bent figures moved quietly, rhythmically through the rows. Hands lifting, turning, placing. Lifting, turning, placing. This is mindfulness in action. Hours of labour pass, time becomes still, and I could almost see people's thoughts and worries form in the clouds above, which then gently moved along. First one, then another, a convoy of colourful tractors and four-wheeled vans and jeeps arrived. Saved white fertiliser bags were packed full of the black dried sod and loaded. Exposed turf, built to its summit on trailers, left a breadcrumb trail of turf along the roads. When the wind came from further away and cool, it brought with it the sounds of the industrial machines. These relentless ants suck up a bog into high brown rolling hills. This peaty land, transported in trucks, packed in ships, is exported to the ends of the world. As I walked White's Bog last summer, I passed sticks. On each stick was a name, each name a family, rows and rows of families, fathers, brothers, sisters, cousins, neighbours, whom together, in an ancient system of nods and nuances, negotiated the toil and effort of shared labour in the removal of tons of this gleaned earth, turf, sod. Each sod potential heat, brought home for the winter, stored in sheds, to be transformed into warmth in the battle against cold and damp. I wish now that I had photographed the names on the sticks. Then I could remember them all. More than 200, list them, carve them on stone, a memorial, because last year, for all those who spent their summer there, it was the final cut.
And that is artist Ursula Meehan reading for us the Facebook post that she made. And it's more than just a Facebook post, isn't it? Definitely poetry in that. She came into studio to read that for us, and she also chatted to us about that piece and about her artwork. Sometimes I have to write what I can't paint. We are in a strange time now when it comes to fossil fuel. This is what I saw. And what Ursula Meehan, the artist from Northwest Meath, saw was the piece that she read for us just before the break there. It's called Summer 2021, The Final Cut. And she tells the story of that. And I chatted to her very recently. She came into studio and we talked about where that piece came from, but also about the place of words and poetry in the life of the painter.
Well, I suppose on Facebook or Instagram, I usually put up an image of a painting I might have worked on or finished. And I suppose over the summer in 2021, I'd been on a bog near Multifarnham. And when I was there, I was drawing and sketching. I would take inspiration from being in nature, and I was on the bog anyway. I was meant to be foot and turf, but I really wasn't. I was walking around and looking at it and just looking at the activity and what was happening. And then this year, I heard news, about the bog, that people weren't able to cut on it.
Yeah.
And while I had been there, I had seen these sticks with people's names on them. And at the time, I didn't photograph them. And part of that was, I think, because it was people's names, I didn't want to intrude on people. But when I heard that people couldn't go back, it really struck me about all these people and families. It was families who couldn't go back, and the importance of being on the bog, that work over the seasons to collect the turf direct from the land to make fuel, fire. So I was kind of going, God, I wish I had taken those photographs. You know, I could imagine these names in some way shown visually. And when I was thinking about it, I just thought, well, why don't you write about it? You know, in a way, sketching, being there, observing, that's the information for the writing as well. So I began writing the piece about being on the bog. Yeah.
And is that something that you've ever done before? Or is this their first venture into finding words where the images can't come or don't come?
I have, when I think about it, back in 2007, I put word with art.
Mm-hmm.
So that was to do with sweeping a floor and looking at it as a piece of artwork, creating art with it. But also there was this reflective piece about being in that action and motion of sweeping. And then later on, when I had done other paintings, I remember I wrote about the area I live in. So it depends on sometimes just that feeling of capturing something with word. In a way, writing, art, music, anything, there's so many links between them as creative processes. So when painting, you're looking at contrast, you're looking at movement, you're looking at rhythm. And in writing, you're looking at these things too, as you are in music and dance. So I think if you shifting into different areas of creative writing is kind of like just tapping into creativity. So I have always enjoyed writing.
Yeah.
And I suppose when I was younger, I did. I loved, at school when you were given the imaginative composition to write, I loved that because you were allowed just to go with it. So if it's creative writing, if it's not too structured, that you just allowed to find your place in it, it's like art and painting, I think.
Yeah. You live in a very beautiful part of the country. You're in Northwest Meath. And it is a place, obviously, that inspires your work.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I grew up in Dublin. I travelled when I was 18. I went travelling to Europe for a good few years. I did street drawing to earn my living, which was, when I think about it now, was a bit, it was a great way to see the world, to see places.
And it's also, I thought about this, I was in Florence not too long ago, and I didn't get into the Uffizi, but I did see all of the street artists outside it. And it reminds me of a long, long time ago, I was there on a school tour, and how immediate it makes the work of the artist for people who aren't connected with it in a way, and who will go to a gallery and see work by long dead people. But there's something really immediate and lovely about that, and that interaction. So there's probably something very valuable in it.
Oh, yeah. Eva,
you know.
Yeah. And, you know, in a way it was like learning from the masters, you know. And then when I came back to Ireland, eventually, you know, settled in the Midlands, settled in Westmeath, because property was cheap, you know, at the time. And so I hadn't grown up in the countryside. And here I was in a very rural part of Ireland with a long history and traditions that I didn't really know about, you know. And I've been here over 20 years more, and I'm still learning, you know. But where I live, North West Meath, near Mullamine, the Hill and Whale, it's Drumlins. It's a very beautiful part of the world. And I suppose it just gets in on you. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
And what does it do to you when it gets in on you?
I suppose it's even like in the when I was speaking about the bog, it's that about that connection. That direct connection maybe with land, with nature, it's around you. I live in a very quiet place. You hear the birds, you observe the seasons. You know, you're close to the land in some way. And I think that connection is, I don't know if it's good for your soul, you know, I suppose. And it can be quite calming, you know. You have to find your peace in a way as well. So, yeah.
Seeing as you're one of these writers, an artist who is great with words, talk to us about your work. Describe your work for us.
My painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. My painting at the moment is very much connected with earth and sky.
Which and is probably a long way from what you might have imagined growing up in Dublin and doing street art in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose I'm interested in that connection between being grounded and then the sky is this different kind of feel. And I'm interested in kind of the thinking around... you know, in some ways, there's yin and yang in that. There is the horizon meets in the middle. It's very kind of simple things, but they are what connects us very strongly with the world. This horizon line, and skies change all the time. They can reflect different feelings and moods in a way. And I always think Irish skies are some of the best skies in the world. They're very dramatic at times. Beautiful light. And I suppose where I am, it's Drumlins. It's low hills. So that it just seeps into the work in some way. It's not that I'm deliberately looking for it, but I think it just being around, it kind of forms a part of thinking. When my both my parents passed away, they had very good lives within 4 months of each other. And I remember kind of this very quiet period where I didn't feel like painting or, you know, it's, you know.
Of course.
And I remember my mother had painted as well. She had studied art when she was young and I had some of her brushes. So, and she had this yellow paint, cadmium yellow, that I never used and that had been just put away from years ago. And I just took that and started painting. And those paintings really were kind of finding a way through grief. And it became about landscape. It wasn't intentional. It just became about light and dark, looking for the light in the darkness, kind of dawn, dusk, those kind of feelings. And it was a way of bringing that simplicity to looking at how we kind of find in ourselves in a new mm-hmm. landscape that we don't understand, which is grief, and how you have to nearly get to know it and find the landmarks and the hills and bumps of it. So that kind of instilled something in me that really connected me to land, earth, sky. And I suppose these things, that connection to the earth is very important in this era.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't forget, you know, we're a bit disassociated from nature, from kind of the earth, I think. And I suppose my work at this point of my life is more connected to that.
And that is the wonderful Ursina Meehan. And you can find out more about her work at Ursina Meehan on Instagram. And if you'd like to see some of her work at the moment, I know it's available at the Handmade Design Studio. That's Claire de Labre's business in Mullingar. Still to come on Encore, arts, crafts, creativity and Christmas. That's all happening a little bit later on in the programme. I mentioned Craig Moore at the top of the show. He is the recipient of €10,000 to make his short film. And when I say short, I mean 10 to 12 minutes. Barry versus the Bin Man tells the story of a 30-something man who is down on his luck and he develops an unusual fixation. I was chatting to Barry recently and we started, first of all, about that very wonderful win that he has just had, that €10,000 award, the first film bursary winner in County Westmeath.
Absolutely, yeah, no, it's great. Great. To be the first, obviously, is wonderful, especially for something that has been kind of a long time coming. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
And when you say a long time coming, you have been in the business of filmmaking for quite a long time.
Yeah. I'm 28 now, so I've been kind of in and around it since I was about 16. Studied it in college, did quite a fair whack of productions when I was going through my course in college, and went straight into it once I left college as well. So I've been in and around it for quite a while.
You also had phenomenal success, because this is not your first rodeo, should we say, with a short film. But the €10,000 budget that you're going to have for Barry and the Bin Men, we'll come to that title very shortly. You only had 1,000. It's 10 times more than the €1,000 that you had for Three Brothers Two. Tell us about Three Brothers Two, because it has won its way around the award circuits, or it did in 2021.
Yeah. Three Brothers Two kind of came about. It's sort of semi-autobiographical, I guess you could say. It's inspired by a lot of real stuff that happened, both to myself and the people that I knew. It's kind of like a dramatization of a couple of different things. And it was something that I had written quite a while ago. I think I wrote the first draft of the script back in 2017, and I did it as a form of kind of, it was like a catharsis. It was just something that I did to get things out of my head and onto a sheet, and then I left it for a while. I was working, and then I was doing other bits and pieces, and I came back to it, and I decided to give it a go, and I self-funded it, hence the really, really low budget, but I had a really, really great team of people helping me with it, and thanks be to God, we made a really good film, and it did really well around the world, and it was 17 festivals in, I think it's 12 countries, and we got loads of nominations, loads of awards, and everybody kind of came away from the whole thing very, very satisfied, very happy. So, yeah.
And how do you come away from all of those festivals, you know, with a film like that, you know, kind of at the end of the pandemic, under your belt, those great successes? Is there a bit of a what now kind of a moment?
Yeah. The funny thing about it with the timing of the film and then the pandemic and stuff like that, it always kind of feels a little bit like unfinished business because I never actually got to watch the finished film with an audience. I never got to go into a theater like you normally would during a festival and sit down in a room full of people that you don't know and gauge their reactions. And that is always kind of the most exciting thing about making anything for me. So in that sense, the pandemic couldn't have come at a worse time. Now, obviously, that's a fairly small fry in comparison with all the other stuff that it resulted in. But just in terms of filmmaking, it did leave that feeling of unfinished business and then what next as well.
So what's next is Barry and the Bin Men, which is a terrific title for a film. It's been described by the Westmeath County Arts Officer, Miriam Mulrennan, as an outstanding piece of work, a standout piece, a comedy, highly original. Tell us about Barry, poor old Barry.
Barry versus the Bin Man. So he's down in his luck, kind of 30-something, and he builds up this feud in his head with his bin man who keeps leaving his bin in the wrong place after they empty it. And it's kind of just a comedy that kind of riffs on people making big things out of very small things. It's not really something that really should bother you, but in Barry's case, it really, really does bother him, and he takes it very, very much to heart, and it kind of just all spirals out of control for him from there.
You're giggling at it already, and you know the story. You've been around it since its birth, so to speak, and it's still, the idea is still entertaining you.
Yeah, well, I mean, funnily enough, it has roots in real life as well. It's kind of inspired by a story that somebody told me one time about them having a row with their bin man over something very small. So that was kind of where it came from. So every time I describe it, I always have that person's face in my head, and they're the inspiration for Barry.
I see. So is anybody safe around you? Are all stories ripe for picking for potential films?
Oh, no, I drag stuff out of people all the time. It's great. The people around you are always the biggest inspiration.
And are you there with your notebook, surreptitiously writing notes on conversations and overheard bits and pieces? Are you the first ever interview I've done on a bus? When we hang up here, will you be listening into conversations around you to find out what material you might be able to glean?
People watching, it's, you know, an art form. but I've never been quite so blunt as to take out a notebook and take things down, but
you probably do it on your phone instead. Your notes app is probably very busy.
Yeah. But I think all the best kind of stories come from just regular people who are around you all the time, every day. Mm. So
you're based in Killucan, and
you've
said that Westmeath is a county that has incredible untapped potential for filmmakers. Mm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, all you have to do is kind of go and look around at all the wonderful scenery and things that Westmeath has. The people as well. It's an art-filled county. We're renowned, obviously, for our music and all of those kind of things. But there's definitely a hunger and a desire for a growth in other areas as well, not just film, but other areas too. And obviously with the new studios being built, hopefully the desire will continue to grow, and a light will kind of be shone on the place, and we'll become known for film and writing. I myself know a couple of great writers and people who are interested in photography and videography and film and stuff, and they're all, you know, extremely talented people. So I kind of hope that things like this, the bursary, the scheme, and whatever else may come along further down the road will help them kind of realise their ambitions.
Very good. Well, Barry versus the Binman is going to be made in kind of, it's the early part, probably the first quarter of 2023. Bleak weather for Barry to be waking up having arguments with his...
Yeah, I think my actors are going to have a lot of things to say to me when I'm directing them on a cold, we're hoping kind of end of January, early February, so cold January or early February morning.
Yeah, and finally then, Craig, when can we expect to see it, or how will it be screened?
We're kind of focusing on first of all, just getting it made first, but we have discussed it's kind of the plan for its journey afterwards, and we'll hit all the usual Irish festivals. We would aim to kind of try and get ready for, you know, places like Galway, which is in July, and then all the other bigger Irish festivals later on in the year, and from there, who knows, we'll try and go abroad, as I did with Three Brothers 2, and we'll just lump it, I suppose you could say, from there. Yeah, festivals are always, they're like a living organism. You can never really gauge what kind of films festivals want from year to year. The only thing that you can do yourself is just make sure that you make a good film. So that's what we're going to do first and foremost.
No doubt we will keep up with Craig Moore. Check in with him later on. Well, I suppose not later on, into the new year, in the springtime, and see how that filming has gone and how the production is going, and catch up with the story of Barry and indeed of Craig. Somebody who's been working very hard, with, not just by herself, but with her community, to be ready for Christmas of 2022 is Gráinne Murtha. And Gráinne is at Murtha's Organic Farm in Emper, just outside Mullingar, along the banks of the canal, about 15 minutes drive outside Mullingar. And she and Christopher and all who are working with them have put together something really, really special. But what's particularly special for my point of view here on this programme is the connection with local arts and local artists. Gráinne Murtha, you're very welcome to Encore. When we chatted earlier on together, you were up a tree. tell me about how that's going, getting ready for the Art and Craft Fair at Murtha's Organic Farm.
It's going great. In fairness, it's taken them 4 or 5 very hard weeks, but it does look like a Christmas wonderland at the moment. So we have taken our own trees from the forestry, Christmas trees. We have about 20 or 30 Christmas trees finally decorated.
So set the scene for us. Let us imagine, if we were to arrive at Murtha's Organic Farm, what would we see as we drive in?
Well, as you come in, you're coming in obviously in a country road, so it's dark and, you know, there isn't much lighting around, and we are beside the canal. So when you come in, you are just going to see a load of lights from the road upwards, going all the way up through the Boreen and up into where the barn is. So the barn is where we have Santa's Grotto, the Live Crib and the Christmas Market. And then we have 20 to 30 Christmas trees all decorated. We've got snowmen. We have a big gingerbread man that's all lit up. So it looks beautiful.
You mentioned the crib, and you're thinking this is the only live crib in Westmeath. Tell us about the animals, and then we'll talk about the artwork in it. What will be in that live crib?
Animals, we take in rescue farm animals. So what we have at the moment is goats, donkeys, ducks, hens, sheep. The pigs we're not going to put in, they're too wild. And that's all going to be inside where the crib is. And it's just beautiful. And it's great for kids and people to come in and just see the live animals as well and get up close to them.
And something else that people will see when they appear is the how would I describe it? The figures in the crib, which are absolutely beautiful. And these were painted by Mullingar artist Claire Kelly. Tell us the background to these and then maybe describe them for us.
Claire had come out to the market, to our country market once or twice, a couple of times, and she was saying she would love to do a community art group in the barn and get them to paint the walls and everything. So we thought this was a great idea. And when we decided to do the Christmas theme, we thought, God, where are we going to get a nativity? And Chris knew a guy called Noel and David Lynn from Kilmurry's, who made Emperor's Crib, Emperor Church. And they actually handmade the life-size, I mean, they're huge, the life-size nativity scene for us. And Claire took them all home. They're made from wood. And she painted all of them. And the detail in them is just, it's stunning. And the texture of the paint, everything is it really is, it's amazing.
And these are, and I know the photo doesn't do them justice, but they really are very beautiful.
They are.
Given
They're
the
beautiful.
Size that they are, you wouldn't expect the level of detail that is there. But each of those, the wise men, each look like they have their own personality. Everybody
absolutely.
Has their own personality. Even the animals have a sense of energy about
them,
don't they?
They do have a sense of energy. They look great. It's just, as I said, the picture doesn't do it justice. But she really is very, very talented. And something we'll have forever, which, you know, it's great.
Yeah, I think the colour and the detail are extraordinary. They're really beautiful pieces.
I never thought you could get that kind of detail on the wood. I never imagined them to be so beautiful.
Yeah. So they will be there forever and a day at Martha's Organic Farm.
Absolutely, yes. We'll have to do it every year now.
No pressure. Once you get over the first year and see how that goes. Talk to me about the arts and crafts, because everything that is there will be produced locally, more or less. Isn't that the case?
Yes. We have in and around 15 to 20 stalls every day. They will change every day as well. But these are all local talented craftspeople. And it's all handmade and they all make it themselves, which makes it even more special. We have the likes of Ross Nally from Forged Nature. I don't know if you heard of him. He's a sculptor. He makes metal sculptures. And they are, again, the detail in those are stunning. And if you go onto his Facebook, you'll see a barn owl, a full-size barn owl in flight made out of metal. And it is beautiful. But along with that, I mean, we have people making leather bags, belts, wooden clocks, ornaments. I'm showcasing actually Charlie Mahon's ceramics from Cork. And he's extremely talented and he makes everything to order as well. So it's not mass produced. Everything is handmade and none of the plates or the pottery is the same because it's all individually done. We have organic skincare. We have handcrafted jewellery. There is just an array of stuff and it's a great place to get Christmas presents.
And you are also having a very special turning on of the lights on Friday. It's not at night, but
no.
Late in the afternoon, you're going to have Sean Kane.
We do, yes. Sean's a good friend and an absolute gentleman. He is actually playing in Tullamore on the 1st, so he's coming over to us on the 2nd. And he is going to himself and Santa and a little lad called Jack, who adores the farm, are going to turn on the lights together
at
3:30 on Friday. So, and Jack is only 3, so he's dying to meet John Keane too. But he's great. I mean, he's so talented anyway, and the amount of people ringing just because he's coming out because they just want to meet him, and he's no problem. He'll be out at 3:30. He does have a concert in Duro that night. So, but we'll have him for an hour or two.
Yeah. I was looking at some of the images on your Facebook page, and it's, you know, you mentioned in a very blasé kind of way, oh yeah, we have all these trees decorated, you know, like they are extraordinary. Some of them are very beautiful. They're not typical.
Thank you. No, they're not. I did everyone differently. We also had Amy from, I don't think you saw those photos because we haven't got them up yet, but Amy from Betty Bloom's Garden Centre in Castletown made enough wreaths to do a 120-foot barn.
Wow.
So you're talking, God, probably 60 or 70 wreaths, garlands. The garlands are going right across it. It looks beautiful. And we, Ray Dolan is coming out on Thursday night to do it all live, so people will have a little glimpse beforehand.
Wow.
But again, she's so talented, and it's great to have local people and supporting local people doing this because their talents are exceptional.
It sounds like an absolute triumph of community, what you're doing
yeah.
there, as well
yeah.
as,
yeah.
you know, the support of all the local arts and crafts and your own creativity indeed.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've had people coming over to help us using their own time painting and, I mean, if you'd seen this place a month ago, you'd be going, God, I'm not going out there. But yeah, I mean, they've been great. The help, we wouldn't be able to do it without the community and the help that we're getting.
Well, that is a triumph of community, isn't it? They are in Emper, just outside Mullingar town, and you get all the details on their Facebook page, Martha Organic Farms, and all the details are there. If you want to go to Santa, and Santa will be there, you'll need to book that by phone. But as I said, all the details are on the Facebook page. They are open for the first 3 weekends in December.